like to turn to Genesis chapter 22. Let's read the first five verses. At the end of chapter 21, we see Abraham in Beersheba, and coming to chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he, God said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah. So he sends him to the vicinity of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. Well, there's several mountains there, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, that would be Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Again, this passage is full of spiritual truth and instruction. Many places, again, where the emphasis can be laid. It opens with God speaking to Abraham, telling him to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering at a place that God, at a specific place that God would tell him of. It is here in chapter 22 that we find for the first time the word worship there in verse 5. It's the first time that the word occurs in the Word of God. It, of course, is not the first recorded act of worship. Adam and Eve worshiped. We know that Abel worshiped. Enoch worshiped. Noah all worshiped. They built an altar. But this is the first time that we have the word worship. And it's very plain from verse 5 that Abraham understood that what God had told him to do was an act of worship. It would require an act of worship. So Abraham is not looking at this just merely as a command from God. He's viewing it as an act of worship. And Abraham and what Abraham and Isaac did upon that mountain was worship God. We're not really told a whole lot. There's a lot of detail that we're not told of what transpired on that mountain. We're told the basics. But it was a time of worshiping the Lord. We've preached on the subject of worship many times, and it's a real problem today. The masses of that profess Christianity have bought into, have incorporated or adopted so many superficial ideas concerning worship that most people today don't even know what real worship is. And what is called worship for the most part today is anything but. But you take all the superficial ideas concerning worship, you combine that with the depravity of man, you combine that with a society of secularism and humanism, materialism, and all of that leads, of course, to a great deal of ignorance concerning the subject of worship. The Bible has much to say about the subject of worship. But here in verse 5, we see Abraham giving instruction to his servants, "Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." The primary Hebrew word for worship is shaka, meaning simply to bow down. The idea is one of reverential awe of mind and body, such a reverence that would cause one to bow down before the Lord. So with that in mind, we hear Abraham say to his servants, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship." And what we have here throughout Genesis 22 is a picture, a word picture of worship. And we've preached from this before upon this subject, using this as a pattern for worship. But we want to speak tonight on progressing toward the place, because there was a place here that Abraham was to go, progressing toward the place and the act of worship. There is a progression involved in worship. The progression for our next worship service is going on right now. And we'll continue Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday until we come again into the house of God. But we need to realize that there is a progression involved in worship. Worship is so awesome. It's not just something that you stumble into. You can't just live like you please and then at a certain time turn the switch and worship God. Doesn't work that way. We all know that. There is a progression that takes place. So our text opens with God telling Abraham to go to a God-ordained place. When he got to that place, he was to offer Isaac. We see that in verse 2. Again, a very strange command from God. But from verse 5, once again, we see that Abraham viewed this very strange and mystifying command as an act of worship. So there is the place and there is the act of worship. Now, the actual act of worship at the place that God had chosen is seen in verses 9 through verse 14. But there was much that went on before Abraham got, before we get to verses 9 through 14, which is the actual act of worship. So there is a spiritual progression toward this place, toward the act of worship. This is illustrated from Psalms 120 through Psalm 134. That's 15 psalms. They're all grouped together, and they all have the inscription, a song of degrees. 15 of them. A song of degrees. The word degrees simply means ascension. In other words, songs of ascension. And these psalms, Psalms 120 through Psalm 134, were sung by groups of Israelites who, as they made their journey, their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they would go there, of course, for the Feast of the Passover. They would go there for the Feast of Pentecost, for the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you notice in Psalm 122, which is part of these psalms, Psalm 122, verses 3 and 4. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel. And here's why they go there, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. So they are called songs of degree or ascent because you cannot get to Jerusalem from anywhere without going up. And as the Israelites made their journey on foot, that was the only way to travel, of course, to these ascending through the mountains of Judea, they would sing these psalms, Psalms 120 through Psalm 134. And as you read those psalms, they are psalms that are progressing. They are intensifying. And they are progressing toward Jerusalem. And they're becoming more and more fit to worship as they get closer and closer to Jerusalem. So these 15 psalms were the songs of the caravans on their homeward marches toward Jerusalem. They would sing these songs as they made their way to Jerusalem, continued to sing them, and their excitement would grow until they came to the final song, which was Psalm 134. And they would be standing at that time in the sanctuary of the Lord. But the whole point is that there was a progression toward the place of worship. There was a spiritual progression toward the act of worship. And we see that same thing here in Genesis chapter 22. We see that on Abraham's part, there is a progression to the place and to the very act of worship. Notice, first of all, in this progression, there, of course, was a personal relationship with God. Prior to getting to the act, recorded in verses 9 through 14, prior to that, and even prior to Genesis 22, there was a relationship between God and Abraham. And we saw this morning there were several places where God made contact with Abraham. So there was a personal contact between God and Abraham. There was an interaction that went on between God and Abraham. And progressing toward the place and the act of worship, a relationship with God must be maintained. There must be an interaction with God prior to getting to the place of worship, prior to getting to the actual act of worship in that place. A relationship with God must be maintained. And maintaining that relationship actually involves worship. So we're worshiping all along. It's not just coming to a specific place, but it's progressing toward that place. That relationship with God is progressing. And if we're going to truly worship God, we of course must have a relationship with God. And that relationship, that interaction, that contact with God, it's Sunday. Next time we meet is Wednesday. During that time, our relationship with God is to be progressing. Again, we're to be worshiping. And what that does is that prepares us for when we come to this place for the act of worship. Secondly, it goes right along with the first thing, the relationship. There was a personal awareness and there was a personal response to God on Abraham's part. Again, we see this prior to Genesis 22 in the times that Abraham appeared, or God appeared to Abraham. And we certainly see it here in Genesis chapter 22. So Abraham lived with a realization of God. Again, in verse 1, we see that God said unto him. God said unto him, and he called him by name, Abraham. When he said Abraham, he had Abraham's attention. And Abraham immediately responds, here am I. And then, of course, God gives instruction. But consider the response of Abraham. Behold, here I am, or behold, here am I. This reveals several things. It reveals, first of all, that God had the attention of Abraham. If we are going to progress toward the place and act of worship, God must have our attention. We cannot be oblivious to God throughout the week and then come a certain time on Sunday or Wednesday, turn on the switch and worship God. Once again, it doesn't work that way. God must have our attention. And as God has our attention through the week, we are progressing toward that moment of worship. We also see that Abraham was very much aware of the presence of God in his response. Behold, here I am. And progressing toward the place and act of worship, we must be aware of the presence of God in our lives. We also see from Abraham's response that he was sensitive to the voice of God. God only had to say Abraham one time. He didn't have to call him 15 times. All he had to do was say Abraham. Abraham knew that voice. Abraham was sensitive to that voice. And if we are going to progress toward the place and the act of worship, we must maintain a sensitivity toward the Lord, a sensitivity toward the voice of God. We also see from Abraham's response that he possessed a willingness. He possessed a readiness of spirit, a readiness of submission, and a desire to please God, and he desired to hear further from God. God says, Abraham, Abraham responds, here I am. In other words, God, you have my attention. I am listening. Speak. And of course, that needs to be our spirit when we get to the place of worship. But again, getting to have that spirit when we get to the place of worship, that has to be maintained throughout the days leading up to the place and the act of worship. By Abraham's response, we see that Abraham was affected and stirred by the voice of God. And if we're going to worship God, we must be affected and stirred by God before the act of worship. So all of this is involved in progressing toward the place and the act of worship. Thirdly, there was a revelation from God. In verse 2, God makes known to Abraham what he wants him to do. His instruction to Abraham, of course, would be contrary to the natural feelings and the affections of Abraham. They would be contrary and unlike anything in the world. And if we're going to progress toward the place and act of worship, there is the will of God, there is the Word of God, and we must rise above self and the world. And once again, we don't do that 5 minutes before it's time to worship. That is something that has to be going on, leading up to, progressing toward the place, toward the act of worship. There has to be a rising above self, rising above the ways of the world. Because what God is telling Abraham to do goes against Abraham's self and is again unlike anything that the world knows anything about. We see also there was personal preparation on Abraham's part. In verse 3, we see that before Abraham left his residence, before he left his residence, he saddled the donkey, he split the wood, he got a knife, he got some kind of cord to bind Isaac, he got Isaac, he got his two servants, he got the means of starting a fire. But what you read in verse 3 is Abraham is preparing. Abraham is making arrangements. What is he preparing for? What is he making arrangements for? To do what God said. And from verse 5, we see again that Abraham viewed God's instruction as an act of worship. So Abraham is preparing for worship. He's making arrangements for worship. He is getting ready. He is getting ready to leave his residence, to leave everything there and go to the place that God had appointed. And in the worship of God, progressing toward the place and act of worship, there must be a progressive preparation to be where God would have us, the place that God has ordained for you and I to worship. We're talking about public worship. Of course, we're to worship all week long. But we're talking about public worship, a place, the actual act. There must be preparation made through the week. Abraham's preparation, you'll notice in verse 3, corresponded directly to what God would have him to do. So whatever is involved in worship, and we don't have time to go into all of that, but you take everything that is involved in worship, our preparation for worship is to correspond to what is involved. And that's what Abraham is doing here in verse 3. Abraham's preparation was with the intent and the purpose of obeying God. And again, he viewed that as an act of worship. No one accidentally worships God. You don't just accidentally worship the Lord. As Abraham did these things in verse 3, as he made his preparation, no doubt he did each one of those things with great thought upon what he was about to do. Offer his son. As he prepared that mule, I don't believe that was a thoughtless activity. But he did so with great thought of what was at hand. As he went out and he split the wood, it wasn't a mindless activity. But he split that wood with great thought, considering what was at hand, considering what he was splitting that wood for. As he gathered the wood, as he gathered his knife, and the cord that would be used in binding Isaac. And as he gathered the means of starting a fire. None of these were mindless activities. But he did these things with great thought. And no doubt, as he went and got Isaac, that was not a mindless activity. But again, there was great thought at what was at hand. As he got his servants. So progressing toward the place and act of worship is not a mindless matter. It requires thought. It requires contemplation. It's not a mindless matter. And it's something that we progress throughout the week. All of Abraham's preparation, no doubt, considering the situation, involved deep thought upon God. And if we're going to progress toward the place and act of worship, we must give deep thought to God. There was meditation upon what God has told him. I've got to believe that Abraham thought upon the goodness of God to him and the faithfulness of God to him. In other words, as Abraham was doing all of these things, I believe his mind was absorbed with God. And his mind was absorbed with the matter that was before him. So much so that it was almost as if nothing else really did matter. He's progressing toward the place and the act of worship. And that progression requires an absorption upon with God and a focus upon God. We also see in verse 3 that there was obedience and went unto the place of which God had told him. So now he's heading in the direction. And as Abraham and Isaac and his two servants are heading in the direction of where God told him to go, where do you think Abraham's mind and heart were? What do you think his mind and heart was occupied upon? What do you think his mind and heart was occupied with as he left his residence that morning? I believe that's made clear from verse 5. You two stay here while I and Isaac go and worship. What was upon his mind as he obeyed God, as he's heading toward that place, God is upon his mind. And he is obediently following God toward that place. And if we're going to progress toward the place and act of worship, there must be an unwavering obedience to God through the week. We can't just live in sin all week long, stumble into the house of God, and worship. We strive to obey God throughout the week. Whatever is involved in our week, we strive to be in obedience to God, because that is progressing us toward the place and the act of worship. And once again, all of this includes worship, and all of our obedience ought to be an act of worship. Now we read that the journey took 3 days. And I believe during that journey, Abraham progressed in his relationship with God, because I don't believe Abraham could have ever gone through, climbed that mountain, and actually go through the motion of offering up his son if Abraham was not growing closer to God during those 3 days. And during those 3 days, I believe Abraham progressed in his awareness of God, progressed in his sensitivity toward God, progressed in his willingness and readiness to do what God would have him to do, progressed in his submission to God and his desire for God, in his intent and purpose to do what God would have him to do. And we are to progress in all of these matters leading to the place and the act of public worship. For 3 days, Abraham had opportunity to think. That can be dangerous sometimes. But I believe Abraham was meditating upon God, recalling God's goodness to him, recalling God's faithfulness to him. And now, in obedience, he's heading toward that place. But no doubt for those 3 days, every one of those 3 days, every moment of those 3 days, Abraham had to be overcoming fleshly inclinations. Because what God was telling him to do goes against fleshly inclinations. And once again, if we're going to progress toward the place of worship, we are to obey God. We are to be progressing in our obedience to God. And in doing so, we must overcome fleshly inclinations. For 3 days, Abraham's heart, I believe, is being more and more moved and stirred by God. And I draw that conclusion from verse 5. When they find, after 3 days, they got to the place, Abraham was ready to worship God. So a lot went on in those 3 days. Be sure of that. And it's true in our lives. A lot must go on spiritually if we're going to come prepared. But you think of something else. Abraham traveling those 3 days was getting further and further from the cares of home. Just like any home, there were cares in Abraham's home. And what's he going to tell Sarah? There are all kinds of cares. But as he's progressing toward this place of worship, he's getting further and further from the cares of home and closer to the place of worship. And no doubt there was a progression of anticipation. Just like in Psalms 120 through Psalms 134. Each one of those songs just kind of grows in anticipation as the Israelites are getting closer to Jerusalem. And so it was with Abraham as he gets closer to the vicinity of Moriah. The anticipation. I don't believe it was dread, because once again we see his attitude in verse 5. So the place, progressing toward the place, an act of worship, involves a progression of our hearts and our souls. We see also there was a progression of faith. During those 3 days, we see this from Abraham's response to Isaac. During those 3 days, Abraham believed and trusted God. That's obvious from the fact that he left home. And again, Hebrews 11 and verse 8 points that out, that that required faith. But he was believing and trusting the Lord. And then God, after 3 days, told Abraham, this is the place. And the place was still far off, we read. And then Abraham and Isaac walked together to that place. But he says in verse 5, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He believed that even if he had to kill Isaac, God would raise him up. He knew that the two of them were coming back. That's faith. And in response to his son Isaac's question, as we saw this morning, God will provide himself a lamb. Now I believe when God told Abraham what to do, back in verses 1 and 2, it required a lot of faith. It required faith to make all the preparations and then to finally take the first step of that journey. And it required an increase of faith for the next 3 days. But there was a progression of faith. And if we're going to progress toward the place and the act of worship, there has to be a progression of faith. And everything in our world fights against every one of these things. It's a battle. It's a struggle. We see there was a coming apart under God. In verse 3, there was the actual leaving of home. And coming to verse 4, they are now 3 days removed from home. There's a lesson there. If we're going to worship God, we have to be removed from this world. 3 days removed. And we read, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So they're 3 days removed, and the place is still afar off. We really don't know how, when, by the time they stopped the mules, how far Abraham and Isaac had to walk. But it was all part of that progression. But they are 3 days removed from home. And they have now come to the specified place. And Abraham says there in verse 5, "Abide ye here." Keep that word in mind, here. "And I and the lad, I and Isaac, will go yonder." Two words to keep in mind. Here and yonder. Here and yonder. We will go yonder and worship. So we see there was a leaving of the servants. There was a leaving of worldly associations. In progressing toward the place and act of worship, there must be a leaving of here, not this building, a leaving of here to yonder. There must be a coming apart from, unto God. And do not be mistaken, here and yonder must be kept separate and apart. You cannot bring here into the house of God. You have to leave that and go yonder. These two are separate. Here and yonder. And they must be kept separate. They must be kept apart. Like Abraham, the worshiper is to say to all his worldly cares, his worldly affairs, "Stay here while I go yonder in worship." That as I'm leaving all that behind, that I'm going yonder and I'm going to worship. It's an absolute necessity. It's not easy. It takes the grace of God. In verse 6, "And they," Abraham and Isaac, "went both of them together." But notice verse 6. Abraham took the wood. He laid that upon Isaac his son. So he's got the wood. He took the fire, or the means of starting the fire, in his hand, and a knife. No doubt he had some kind of cord, though it's not mentioned, to bind Isaac. Very important lesson here. What was it that Abraham and Isaac took with them as they're heading toward the place of worship? They took only what they needed for worship. That's all they took. They didn't take anything else. They took what they needed in the act of worship. And we're told twice, verse 6 and verse 8, that they went both of them together. And no doubt there was much thoughtfulness. And again, we don't know how far they had to walk. But no doubt they did so with great thought. Progressing toward the place and the act of worship requires much thoughtfulness throughout the week. Requires that we think upon the Lord. And in verse 9, we read, "And they came to the place." And then, of course, the act of worship took place. There in verses 9 through verse 14. And we see that in that act of worship, they were blessed, of course, in many ways. You read verse 14, there's excitement there as they rename the place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. God has provided. But there was a progression. to get to that place. And then if you read verses 15 through 18, you see that God appeared again to Abraham. And what he did was he restated his promises to Abraham. And then in verse 19, so Abraham returned unto his young men. And oh, what a return it was 3 days back to Beersheba. He returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba. Remember, that's where he left back in Genesis 21. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. So to get to the place and to get to the actual act of worship, again, we're talking public worship, congregational worship, requires a progression. We must be diligent in that progression of worship. And as we've said before, if this progression is actually taking place, the anticipation is building. Monday, Tuesday. By Wednesday morning, the anticipation ought to be high. Just a few more hours, and I'll be at that place to worship God. And from Wednesday, you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you have the Lord's Day. But each one of us would strive to make a progression toward worship. There's innumerable things that can happen in our lives, things that we can do that will stop dead in its tracks that progression. Those are the things we must try to avoid. And how terrible it is, and it's happened to all of us, you leave Sunday evening service. You seem to be progressing Monday and Tuesday. And then on your way to the house of God, it all falls apart. That's sad. That's sad. But it happens. And when that does happen, we have to try and get right, confess, and to be as prepared as we can possibly be. So again, we've preached many times upon this subject, and we all know that worship requires preparation. Worship requires a progression. But living in a day where worship is, for the most part, what is called worship, it's just a sham. It's just pretense. And how wonderful it is to know that there is a place where you and I can worship. And we just must be prepared to do that. So let us pray every day that God would help us to progress toward that place, toward that act of worship. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.